Okay. First of all, let's just talk about the obscure nature that you do this entire puzzle to find a secret door to her lab, which is an air vent.
That's it. That's all it is. It is an air vent.
So she did an elaborate puzzle so that a little air vent would open so she could crawl into her own lab.
Yes, an air vent full of spider webs that should not be there because she uses this quite regularly, it seems.
Exactly, right? I didn't get that part. But, and as you know, as you start crawling through that air vent.
Come on, give it.
She says a line, an iconic line.
Yes!
I didn't get the first part, but I know in Die Hard, it's, let's get together, have a few laughs. And
she said, oh, come aboard the Helios.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, yes, Die Hard.
Yes!
It's really good.
I can only imagine how you must have felt listening to that.
My wife and I both heard it, and we were like, what, did you just say that? Was it a Die Hard reference in an Italian game about a scary ship?
Set in the 19th century.
Yeah, I loved it.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
No. I'm broke, Dave.
I swear, this gets sadder and sadder as I ask. It used to be I'm fine, and now it's just no.
I'm not fine. I'm broke. I'll tell you why. It's a funny story.
Go for it. I love funny stories.
Yesterday, while I was working, I work in an office at our home, and my oldest, he's 4 years old, he was staying at home because he's got a bit of a fever, or he had a bit of a fever. Mm-hmm. So we kept him at home, and I was working in the office. He loves playing Astro's Playroom, you know.
Of course.
On the PlayStation 5.
That's right, you're sick, playing video games. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he was underneath his blanket, he had some milk, and he was playing video games. Classic sick boy.
Yeah, no, very much so. Yeah, it's almost a cliche. He should, you know, he just changed things up, but go on. Yeah.
So I was working in the office, then all of a sudden I get an email from Sony.
Yeah.
It's an email and the subject line is, thank you for your purchase.
Oh no. Is the your subscription?
Yes. No. Flynn accidentally bought a couple of months of PS Plus while trying. He accidentally pressed the PS button and got out of Astro's Playroom. And in his attempts to get back to the game,
he accidentally
bought a couple of months of PS Plus. Deluxe edition, mind
you. No! Yes. Oh my. That is so funny, but not funny at the same time.
I immediately got up and I had to check things out. And indeed, when I got there, he was fumbling around on the PS Plus purchase menu.
What are the odds that he went to the PS Plus purchase menu?
I know. Can you imagine if he bought something Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah.
It would have been so easy. My poor wallet.
Jeez. But that's the thing about place. It's so easy. It's just like X, done. You purchase. You made it.
There we go.
No pins. No.
Our money now.
Yeah, exactly. That's so crazy.
I think there's a setting where you need to add a pin to purchase, and I think I'm going to have to enable it now.
Yeah. That's so... poor fella, though. He's like, I just want to get back to my game.
Just go away. He just wanted to play Astro's Playroom.
Shame, you really can't keep your eyes off them for like 10 seconds, can you?
It was absolutely hilarious after I got over the fact that I spent just a lot of money.
Yeah, no. That's crazy. And the sad thing is that buying it monthly is the most expensive way of doing it. he could have bought you half a month or something like that, but a 3 month package. Oh, shame.
Anyway, okay. Well, yeah, that was
Makes sense. That was
so he's been sick at home, and I've been working. There's not been much time for anything else, which is why I'm so glad this week's game is on the shorter end.
Yeah, no doubt, it really is.
How about David? Tell us what have we got?
Well, this week's game is an indie game, right? If I'm not mistaken, it's a game called Close to the Sun by a developer company called I wrote down Storm in a Storm Cup, and I'm like, whoa, that cannot be the name of this. That makes no sense.
No.
Okay, yeah, Storm in a Tea Cup, and it's an Italian company, which I always like the indie games being from places far and wide, because then you get to, you know, it's nice to play other people's games and other countries' games and stuff. And they've made other games, but I've never heard of them. There was Nero, Nothing Ever Remains Obscure.
I've not heard of that. I've not heard of that either.
Nero, you heard of the CD burning software, or am I showing my age again? Do you not know Nero? Can you remember Nero? It's a weird tangent, but there was a CD burning software called
Nero.
You
might be unlocking some memories right
CD
now.
CD burning, right? When was the last time anybody's
CD? I'm googling
CD.
It now. Oh, yes!
Right, I know.
Whoa!
Ladies and gents, back in the day...
decades!
You used to burn data onto CDs.
Yes, I did. I used to burn on discs.
Everybody used to use Nero. Nero was great. Sorry, weird tangent. They also made a game called Enki Lantern. They are this game, Close to the Sun. And a game called Steel Seed is on its way later this year.
Oh, wow.
Which is good to see. The
yeah, great to see they're still doing stuff. I've not heard of any of those.
No, not I've seen. But then it's an Italian company, so it's not that surprising.
I've seen Close to the Sun beforehand, but they don't make big stuff. That's probably why they're on Indie 500.
Yeah,
they make
like
indie.
A niche. Yeah, that's right. They make niche little games. A lot of like games are reliant more on the narrative than anything else, which is fair enough. You know, that's my type of jam. Nice little small developer making some decent games out there.
It's
the dream fundamentally,
which is nice, and it's great when those games kind of get picked up by a wave, so that a game can sustain a studio to make more games.
Yeah, agreed.
I always think back to CD Projekt Red, how they made The Witcher 3, released it in 2015.
Yeah.
And they're still, almost 10 years later, getting millions from that game, just being good and selling.
Yeah. Did they not make the other Witcher games or not?
Yes, they made all of them, but I think Witcher 3 is the one that sold gangbusters.
Yeah, no, it did. Gangbusters, nice phrase. Jeez, I haven't heard that in a long time. yeah, no doubt, and there's lots of little independent companies. Hell, if you just even look at Helldivers now, Helldivers 2.
Their
original
example.
Game compared to now, this game is making them hundreds and hundreds of millions of
it's
dollars.
It's a world of difference. I mean, the first game was PS Vita top-down shooter.
Yeah, it really was. It was just like a more strategy kind of controlling your men type aspect.
Yes, it's almost nothing
alike
to the new one. Maybe just world building, I guess.
But this is what we love to see. We love to see little companies making games we want to play instead of companies making games they try to tell us to play.
Yes.
Anyway, that's a rant for another day.
This game is almost something I'd like to play. It's got some aspects that I really like.
Yes.
Others, not so much.
Well, that's the thing. Like I say, by all accounts, we both know we're going to be comparing this to BioShock, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's got the BioShock vibes.
Definitely.
It's got even the BioShock graphics and stuff. Everything screams BioShock. This was obviously inspired by BioShock. There's no doubt in my mind. Which, as you said, it's a nostalgic feeling to play a BioShock game or a new story within a BioShock game.
Yeah.
Which is a good way of marketing the game itself.
I remember when BioShock first came out, my friends were buzzing about it. And I just had eyes for Portal at the time.
Portal's a good game, yeah.
So we'd be at a big old LAN party.
Yeah.
All my buddies would be playing BioShock because it's the new hot biz, and I'd be playing Portal. So I've got more Portal memories than I do Bioshock memories.
Which is fair enough. Portal's a great game. I love it is. Portal. I might love Portal more than Bioshock, so I'm there with you.
Yeah. It's not an unpopular opinion, but it's comparing apples to apples. They're both excellent games.
No doubt. And of course, in the name Close to the Sun, it immediately screams at you, what was his name, Icarus?
Yes, Icarus. That's right.
Icarus and Greek stuff seems to be prevalent in throughout this game, so that's the main theme in this.
They're not even trying to hide it.
No. And that's, I like that. I always like I said, games that build upon facts or factual worlds, and then you get to play within them and kind of learn some stuff.
I truly enjoy when history gets kind of twisted into a fictional story that just sets your creativity ablaze.
No, agreed.
It's so much fun. Exactly why Bioshock is so great. Bioshock Infinite and the City of Columbia. Oh,
yeah, all the Americana and stuff like that combined with dystopian survival and all that.
Yes, it is
a great combo. On that note, should we jump into the narrative then?
Before we do, I just want to take off my jersey.
Whoa! See, this is where people, you know. We should do this videos, right? Why aren't we video casting this? You know, this big muscular man taking off his sweater.
Did you keep everyone entertained?
Oh, I did. Don't worry, you'll enjoy that in editing.
Okay. Narrative.
Well, like I said, it's all you're on a ship called Helios.
Helios is a great ship. I think one of my favorite parts of the game.
Greek god of the sun, so they're chucking in the whole Icarus sun god thing. I love that the primary story, I love there was a little note, I'll go into it a bit later, is that it seems to be a fight between, there seems to be like a rivalry between Edison and Tesla, which seems to be just hinted on in this game, which I think is just so funny, like Gangs of New York. A movie you haven't seen, right?
Have you seen the movie? No, of course not. Why do you have to bring this up? Of course, I've not seen it.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I just loved it. It was just a weird... I put this at the top here.
But that's real. That really happened.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, Edison stole some of Nikola Tesla's patents.
I think Edison basically stole all his different patents.
Anyway, yes.
So the fundamental story is you play... So I'm going to get this way. Rose, right?
Yes, you're Rose, and you got a letter from your sister, Ada Archer. So you need to go find her and investigate this big old ship called Helios.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Big old ship called Helios, and it's got that same kind of like feel when you do enter Bioshock, the underwater city of...
Yes, when you go through the biosphere.
Yeah, and then everything's... People aren't there, and things are tussled over, and people are missing and stuff like that. So it's got like, what the hell's gone on?
I think the difference between the two is I like the fact that in Bioshock, you haven't even exited the biosphere. Mm. You immediately see a splicer in the dark.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I remember. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whereas in Close to the Sun, I think you play... Close to an hour before you see,
right?
Which isn't true. I'm going to contradict myself in a minute. You play close to an hour before you see a body.
Agreed. I was playing this game thinking, is this just like walkthrough simulator? Because I'm waiting. This has got horror aspects. Like you play Bioshock, that's got like a horror tense atmosphere.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're walking through this ship and people are missing and you're looking for your sister. And I keep thinking at any moment now, a jump scare or a monster or blood
very
or something.
True.
And I thought that for like 40 minutes. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Am I just walking around, finding clues and eventually going to find my sister?
Pushing buttons, opening doors. There is an undeniable horror aspect to this and Bioshock, but I wrote it down in gameplay. There's a weird meta aspect that we can get into later. Mm-hmm. But you do get the feeling that you are being watched and or followed.
That's very true, yeah.
In the very, very first chapter, right? There's a prologue chapter where you're on this little ship.
Yeah,
on your way to the Helios, which is so cool visually.
It is. I thought that was a cool little bit.
I really like that. But the first chapter, when you've boarded the Helios and you're in the dock inside a ship, which is a such a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the very, very far distance, in an elevator, you can see a person standing watching you.
No, they like I said,
did
I
you
that,
see that?
Yeah, I got that in visuals. They actually do that quite a lot. I spotted a few times where someone's actually watching you. Which adds to the fact that I was walking around for an hour waiting for something to happen. Like, something must happen, something soon, but it never happened until it does eventually happen. But
eventually, sure. Yeah. But I mean, it's so far down a point where most people would have put down the game.
Exactly. That's one of the problems. I did write down here literally that the pacing could have been better. Like, there's a lot
the pacing
of just,
couldn't have been worse.
It was just so long, and like, come on, something. Let me find my sister already, or let me find Aubrey, which is I liked Aubrey.
Yeah, which is your buddy.
And eventually, it starts as you go an hour in. You start to get some you know, you get some growls in your ear, which out of nowhere, I was like, what is this? Halfway through the game, I was thinking, am I chasing bad guys as in humans, or are there monsters? Because at some moments there were some great visual clues where you keep seeing I just adds to get a story a bit, where you keep seeing somebody switching off the light, right?
Yeah.
You see the shadow of a man and they switch off the light as you get closer to it, which
yes,
I thought, okay,
super cliche,
yeah, but super tense. And then I like 20 minutes later I'm hearing something growl, and so I'm thinking to myself, okay, is this a monster? Is it a dog? Is it a human, like, likes to growl? I was expecting monsters, but it took a long time for the monsters to kind of turn up too. For spoilers, sorry. Spoilers, like that. There are monsters. There were some things narratively which I loved. Now, this is something you might not have got. Did you get as far as finding, I guess it is the entrance to her lab in Ada's room.
Yes, I did get there. She's got the secret room that you figure out a little puzzle.
Yeah, right. The little
that seems dumb
things
to have in your room.
Yeah, I know, right?
But yes,
and you naturally just place them all around a different area in your room for when you need to get the answer.
I know exactly what you're going to bring up.
Ooh, are you?
Yes, I do. And I like the moment I heard this, I thought, damn, Dave should have been here to see.
Okay, go on. The floor is
no,
yours.
It's your... You tell it. You started with this.
Okay. First of all, let's just talk about the obscure nature that you do this entire puzzle to find a secret door to her lab, which is an air vent.
That's it. That's all it is. It is an air vent.
So she did an elaborate puzzle so that a little air vent would open so she could crawl into her own lab.
An air vent full of spider webs that should not be there because she uses this quite regularly, it seems.
Exactly, right? I didn't get that part. But, and as you know, as you start crawling through that air vent...
Come on, give it.
She says a line, an iconic line.
Yes!
I didn't get the first part, but I know in Die Hard, it's, let's get together, have a few laughs. And
she said, oh, come aboard the Helios.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, yes, Die Hard.
Yes.
A game.
It's really good. I can only imagine how you must have felt listening to that.
My wife and I both heard it and we were like, what? Did you just say that? Was it a Die Hard reference in an Italian game about a scary ship?
Set in the 19th century.
Yeah, I loved it. That just amplified everything for me. There was Die Hard references, and I was down for that. I thought that was the greatest little bit. I loved it.
Arguably, it really is a very good bit.
Yes. I just... And this game, mainly without spoilers, it slowly gets into, like, time displacement and going insane, you know, all the human conditions. But to have those fun little moments where you just smile or laugh and you think, oh, that was a great idea to put that in. Those narratively are so much fun, especially in a tense game. Adding those little bits of, like, lightheartedness or comedic relief in the games is actually a known writing thing. I know Shakespeare used to do it. I don't know.
Oh, right.
I love that bit. I'm glad you got it as well. You got a Die Hard.
I did. Well, only because you forced me to watch Die Hard.
Yeah, I forced him to watch Die Hard, ladies and gents. He's only watched it once now as a grown man at 30. But once is better than nothing.
Yes. I think that part of the writing is good, but is probably the only good bit of writing in the entire game.
I was in this for the story, this game.
You were?
There was just... This is one of those stories where you get... in fact, you communicate a lot via basically a walkie-talkie. You get to speak to your sister, who's asking you to save her research. You've spoken to Aubrey, a German, who wants you to come save him. And you speak to Nikola Tesla every once in a while, who's kind of like... questionable if he's the good guy, bad guy, as you play through this game. And I must admit, I was... My own intrigue of knowing who the bad guy dragged me through this game. I had my inclinations, but yeah. I needed to know if I was right. And that did actually get me through the whole game.
Really? That's what got you through the game?
That's what got me through the whole game. I'm not saying it was good writing. I like cheesy writing. And
yeah, that's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
It did drag me through the game. You didn't like it, though.
I didn't like it, specifically the dialogue. I thought it was horrendous. It's just that nobody's ever spoken the way the dialogue is written in this game. Nobody talks like the way the characters talk in this game. They just don't.
I agree. No, I know what you mean. I get it. There's the flippantness of how they talk to one another when she's come onto a ship that's empty, and then her sister just goes, do this and do that, and I'll tell you everything later.
Yes.
It's so like, no, that would never happen.
No, let's go back to what happened in her sister's room, right?
Yeah,
her sister says, so, I've got a secret room in my room. And
yeah, that's right.
Besides the fact that that's horrible writing.
Yeah.
She just gives her a clue on how to find this room, and then Rose justifiably says, what? You're just giving me a clue to look for a secret room in your room. And then you know what Ada says to that? They're in life or death situations. Ada just says, have fun. What?
Okay. I have to spoil a little bit for you here, because that precise clue is not a clue for that room. It's a clue for later.
That's not my point.
It's dumb though. I agree. Like you said,
my point. They're gonna die.
That's true. I give you that. She'd say she would literally say, "Oh, there's a code in the corner, and it's 341. Get into the vent now, right?"
That's it. Get the book. Come get to the biolabs.
Yeah, it's true.
Quickly.
There's a lot of that where they just try to do, like, introduce you to a puzzle. And they do it with spoken word or like written, and it's just like, oh, okay, thank you, I think.
Yes. Or the super old method of just bad writing is nobody can communicate. Nobody can communicate.
No, that's very true.
German, right? Yeah. Was that his name? He's stuck somewhere and he needs your help. Yeah. Rose, us, the playable character, all we said was, okay, let me get my sister, then we can come get you. And he said, oh no, don't worry about me. I guess I'll just die if you don't want to come save me. That's what he said. I'm thinking, Jesus, am I supposed to not like these people? Because it's working.
I wonder slightly if it's lost in translation, if this was originally written in Italian. They got it. I don't know. I'm trying to work out.
Probably.
It is bad.
Maybe.
Though. No, you are
because
right.
Because
there's
one part where you're talking to Aubrey, and he's trying to open a door for you for the first time, and it explodes.
Okay, that's right. That's
right? Yes, you know what I'm talking about. And the moment you're out behind this door, you tell Aubrey, that was an explosion. That was dangerous. Please, can we keep it calmer next time? And then Aubrey, in his weird accent, says, oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah,
he says, my bad. This game is supposed to be in 1897.
No, that's true.
Sorry, my bad.
I had that same feeling, you're right, because my bad.
My bad? Aren't you 50?
Yeah, it's true. I had that same feeling from that moment, I'll give you.
I really did not like... I know, it's not a big thing, and there are other good parts of this game, and there are worse writing. I just didn't like the dialogue and the writing in this game.
No, I get it, I'm with you. Anything else for the...
Been long enough. I'm sorry.
No worries. Okay, visually, what did you think?
I think this game looks very pretty. Right? The graphical fidelity might not be up there with other games from 2019, but... damn! I just like walking around these big rooms.
Yeah, I know. It's very shiny. You know, like proper, like brand new type shiny feeling to it, like to everything, which is... Again, remember, this is a smaller studio, so they actually did do very well on their visual side. Like, there's obviously someone who loves... there was a nice little thing I do like. I liked that the You Are Here map.
You know, of course, yes. Know, like, and it's actually... and it's accurate.
Yeah, I think that was a nice little way of doing... Not that the map was particularly that important, but I liked the little bulbs that light up as you were there. Literally, like, maps on boats kind of are, if you ever go on a ferry. I thought that was a nice little visual bit so that you felt more immersed into it.
Definitely.
And like I said, go on.
Everything looks, for lack of a better word, gaudy, almost it's full of scientists who think they are smarter than they probably are.
No, exactly right, because they found the place they deserve to
be. Exactly, and everyone's up each other's assholes, so they make this place look like it's the best place on earth.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, to be honest with you, I know Nikola Tesla was rich, but damn, this would be billions upon billions of dollars to make this ship.
This is the amount of money a country would have.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is insane. But I did. I liked. Did you get to the part where you go to the theater? That bit, you know, visually, that bit was. Really
I didn't.
Cool.
No, I stopped playing the game when the tram crashed in a tunnel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
That's where I stopped. I think.
Oh, you weren't too far. You weren't too far from it. Okay. The theater bit was great. It was this massive. Again, the size of the ship must have been colossal, because it had this huge theater in it, and it was really pretty. Like, it was done to the very small details. When that opened up, because lots of the gameplay has just been in narrow corridors or little rooms and stuff like that, and then that opened up to the theater. I thought that was very visually pleasing.
It is nice. You're right.
Again, I found those creepy light switches going on and off. And did you see that one guy who had his face and hand pressed against the window?
I did.
I was like, whoa, that's creepy as hell. Granted, ladies and gents, as you may know, I'm not into scary games that well, and that's, that freaked me out. Just the idea. Oh, it does. That freaks me out more than like a big blob monster or some like gory eyeball falling from the ceiling or something. Just a man holding himself against the window looking at you. Yeah, that's just triggers me a little bit. Oh,
he's just standing there. Menacingly.
Yeah, I know, right? That's literally it. And the occasional light switching off when you go close to the window and it's just like... And you go, ooh, who's that? And in the end, it was Ludwig. The names. Ludwig is out there.
It's just a lot of European names.
Yeah, really. Like the biggest, like, cliched European names you could find. But I did like the little things. There were pictures of, like, Queen Victoria on the wall.
Yep. And real Newton. Scientists. Albert Einstein, Marie Curie.
Yeah,
there were loads.
Marie Curie, and they had the little visual, like, passports you found. Those were mainly proper scientists and well-known people
in
the fields of science. Yeah, the pictures were a bit made up. But I thought that was cool. It is always nice picking up on... history and little pictures and stuff like that. Apart from that, it is a very pretty game. I thought the character designs were kind of meh.
Go on. I think so as well, but I don't think they focused on it too much because of the amount of the game that you are in conversation with other characters.
That's true.
For the vast majority of this game, you're alone. Well,
yes, of course.
You're probably being watched or chased. But you know what I mean. You're not in conversation. Yeah. So you're right. And I think there was much more focus being put on your surroundings.
Yes, agreed. Yes, no doubt.
I must say, my favorite part... of the surroundings would be the scale and the stylized look. This looks like a game from a ship from the 19th century, right? Mm-hmm. One of those big rich ships from 130 years ago. It looks like it.
Yeah, I agree. And they even had those, I don't know if you were old enough to remember that. Do you know those little like air traveling tube things that have like...
Yes. I forgot what they're called, but I know exactly what you mean.
That screams that type of era. I don't know if it actually existed in that time, but I used to, long time ago, supermarkets in England as a kid used to use them. I don't know why. And I remember as a kid thinking those are cool. And now, even as an adult, when I see them in games or something, I go, yeah, that is cool.
I wish I had a special note
from the system going to and fro. I'd still use that to this day.
I got this note that was handwritten for me.
That's
cool.
And it goes, vroom, and it goes, vroom. I don't know why.
Or there's a bell. Cool. Isn't there a bell? Ding, ding, when it lands or something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Weirdly, I found that really cool. And there was a weird little bit visually in this game, which I didn't expect. Yeah. Later on, due to the ship kind of falling apart and fires and stuff like that, you have to walk across some very thin beams. Now, I expected this game to just do the normal jump and then just walk, you know, like the beam's actually like 40 meters wide and it's safe and the lady doesn't have a problem with it. But they actually made it really tense and wobbly and kind of vertigo-esque when doing it, which I thought they would just skip off, like, because, you know, this game's gameplay isn't the key thing on this.
Definitely not.
And they actually did it. It was a tense moment. I was expecting just simple jump and walk and then carry on type scenario. I was taken aback.
I didn't get to that part.
Mm-hmm. I think that was in the theater, to be honest with you.
It was in the theater.
Yeah, I think so. Either way, anything else visually you caught and liked?
Yes, I just... What I meant earlier, by saying one of my favorite parts of the visuals for this game is the scale.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Is it does that thing which, oh, get this, Portal does a lot, where everything is just obscenely big.
Yeah, it's just...
And my monkey brain is just entertained by big thing. Just the first chapter, for example, when you on your little automated steamboat dock into this ship. Are you hearing this? You're docking into the ship and you're inside and you can't see the edges because the ship is too big.
The same
when you took the tram just before it got destroyed, this tram, you're floating through the innards of the ship. You can't see the bottom. You looked out the window. You can't see the bottom.
Did they do that on purpose or?
Well, I'm sure they did it on purpose just to convey the scale of the Helios. Right?
Yeah.
But damn, my monkey brain lit up.
Yeah, you in the past, you do like it when it's a grandeur type aspect.
Yes, things are big.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. Like we said, this was a country-sized boat.
For some reason.
It was massive for what they were doing. But you're right, it added to the atmospheric aspect to it.
Definitely. Helios, I think, is a fitting name, right?
Yes, yeah.
The god of the sun.
But like you said, it being so huge kind of made you feel more isolated, right? Because you knew...
Yes, and insignificant.
Yeah, exactly. No, so it does work. Just having this loneliness and will you ever get to the labs or will you ever get to the room because it's so massive.
I think the visuals were more fun narratively than the actual narrative.
Yes, no, I agree. No, 100%. You can't argue that part. I was dragged through, and I mean that literally. I wasn't enticed or was excited. I was dragged through that narrative to see what happened at the end. Anything else for visuals, or should you jump to audio?
No, let's go audio. So, did you go look at the soundtrack for this game?
I did not, so.
It doesn't have one.
What? The game doesn't have a soundtrack, or doesn't have an individual soundtrack?
It's got a single song.
Really?
It's got one song.
Okay. did they release that as the soundtrack? The single song?
Well, they released it as the OST, and it's a song. It's... Guess what it's called?
Helios.
It's called Close to the Sun.
Oh, so close to the sun.
And it's called Close to the Sun, but it's almost like the budget for a soundtrack, they said, no, we're not going to make a soundtrack. We're just going to put all of the money and efforts into one banging tune. That's exactly what they did.
Indie development for you. But yeah, okay, just one song.
I actually think it worked. So they've got one song. It's called Close to the Sun. They hired a real artist to make it for them. They hired Porcelain Pill, which I've never heard before.
No, listening cool to name, the song. Though, I suppose. Yeah.
But by listening to the song, it's good. This is a good song. I would unironically add this song to my favorites.
Oh, really? You'd literally add this song into your
I would playlist. Listen to this song while working or working out or going for a walk. It's a good song. Okay, but listen to the song. It is called Close to the Sun, the official single by Porcelain Pill. It's great.
I think it might have played at the end of the game when the credits roll.
Most likely. Is it a piano and a guy singing?
I'll be truly honest with you. It's like with most games when the credit starts rolling, I'm kind of switched off. I'm like, done. That's cool. Another coffee. Same. So I couldn't tell you.
I think it's in the official trailer for Close to the Sun as well.
Oh, that would
When it shuffles through all the different gameplay, I think the song plays in the trailer as well. So they've got the one song. It's a good song. It has more of an impact. And I think it works because the game is so much shorter.
Yes, which yes, that, true.
That's
yeah,
a bad
yeah,
thing.
That's right.
But with the game being so much shorter, the song and there being only one of it, I don't know how to explain it even more. I just like the song.
Yeah. Okay. Now there's one thing when I played this game. Again, this is one of those moments where I had the cheerful moment when I heard the Die Hard reference during walking through the event. And then I had one moment I played through and then I had to go back and like play through it again because I'm thinking I did not hear what I just heard, right?
What do you mean?
You play a lovely lady called Rose.
That's right, Rose Archer.
You're talking to Aubrey, you're talking to your sister, there's like Ada. In a monologue. And then there's one moment where you have to break down a door, just like throw, you know, shoulder barge it, right?
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. I know. I think I know what moment you're talking about.
Yeah. And I kid you not, I double checked this. The audio for that moment is a male grunt. It's not her voice. It's a man going.
What?
Urgh. Seriously, I went back and showed my wife. I had to think, I'm not hearing things, am I? And I went back and she said, no, that's a man. there's an audible when she barges down the door. Now, don't get me wrong, a woman could make that noise. But Ada's
that's
voice,
weird.
Or Rose's voice,
that's
is kind of
odd.
Like ladylike to some degree. I was like, whoa. Whoa, where did she got her inner masculine man
All of a sudden, there's a thwomp.
Yeah, right. It was a weird moment. It completely was jarring. I was like, I could not have heard that. And I did. It's a male voice when she goes
It was a thwomp.
I know, it's just, it's like old school, like arcade beat-em-ups.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. That was really strange.
That is weird. I don't know about that one.
But go on.
No, that's hilarious. Almost
on a great note, though. This couldn't have pleased me more. I went through the voice actors, right?
Yeah,
and as you can imagine, a little indie studio, the voice actors aren't
got a bone to pick with their voice acting. But go ahead.
Aren't prolific. The lady you played, Rosa, is. I keep calling her Rosa. I don't know why. Rose. You know, she's just a young lady. She's done a bit of voice acting.
Great. Good job.
The lady played Ada. Same thing. And then
you get to the
Aubrey. Aubrey, the German guy that's been helping you throughout this game, right? This was like the most exciting thing for me. Do you know the Indiana Jones movies?
Of course.
Do you know
I've not seen...
But you've heard of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right?
I think the only one I've seen is that one.
Aubrey is the same actor of the German who's opening the... He's the bad guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Really? The one with the the tiny circular glasses.
He's one of them. No, he's like the German like archaeologist, the actual like strict German.
The Nazi.
Dude. Yeah, it's him. I was like, whoa, it's him. It's Indiana Jones bad guy, and I was. And then...
Whoa! Well, this game was made in 2019.
I know. Then I found something even more amazing.
Okay.
Now, you know of a little chocolate called Ferrero Rocher.
Oh, what are you... What is this? What are you...
Right?
Okay, yes, I know Ferrero Rocher.
Now, when were you born, Nick? Sorry?
93.
I thought so. Now, there was an advert released in 1993.
What's going on?
There was an old advert where...
What is this?
You may have heard of the expression, Ambassador, you're really spoiling us, right?
Ambassador, you're really spoiling us.
Yeah, right?
No.
No, okay.
No, I've not. Is that the advert where they just come out with a pyramid of Ferrero Rocher?
Yes. It was the first one of those, yes. There's a big ballroom. The ambassador gives the nod to his waiter or his...
I see.
...butler. And then that big plate comes out. And then that goes up to this one guy in the corner and he holds a Ferrero Rocher and unwraps it, puts it in his mouth and says, Excellente. And that's Aubrey. Aubrey is the Excellente guy in the 1993 Ferrero Rocher advert. And that is big for me because I remember that advert. I was alive. And of course, at the end of that advert, a French lady goes, Ambassador, you're really spoiling us.
Dave, what are you talking about?
He was... Now, ladies and gents, I know, Nick has no clue what I'm talking about.
This is an advert 30 years ago.
It was anybody older than Nick right now, I'm hoping out there you're on the same page as me because this is an iconic advert. This is one of the best adverts known to man, and he was the Excellente man.
Yeah, now, yes, and Herman was the Excellente man.
Okay.
And Ada Wong said, Delicioso.
I may be putting too much weight into this, but as a child, that was one of my favorite adverts, and it's come full circle to a game I'm playing.
It's so great that, oh man, gaming has... been so engraved in society that we can see threads going into our childhood
that's very true.
We had no idea existed.
That's very true, yeah. I was chuffed when I found this out.
Wow.
I re-watched the advert, by the way. I actually went on YouTube, went to the Ferrero Rocher advert from 1993
that
and
is
watched it
great.
And standing there.
I am such a big fan of this tiny thread that no one on earth has probably realized.
Yes, yeah. Hopefully now everyone knows. Everybody's going to be picking up this game now because it's got the Ferrero Rocher man in it.
People yes, of course. Of course. When you see Dave in the street, just lift your pinky and say, Excellente.
That's right. Which I do love because he's German and Excellente, I think, is Spanish. Or I'm not great, but I don't think it's German. I might be wrong, but I don't think that's the German for excellent.
That is incredible. Thank you, David.
Okay,
thank
I'm sorry on that tangent. Audio-wise, no. Was the audio man. What else was there?
No, I think the voice acting was bad. That's it.
I actually thought it was okay.
Maybe not bad. Bad is over-generalizing it. Maybe, I realized this morning, maybe it's just the bad writing and zero direction the voice actors are getting. Like, they are trying to make do with the little writing that they've got.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. They're doing their best.
They just can't do much else. It's not the voice actor's fault that it's bad.
No, agreed. Yeah, I agree. If you get bad scripts, then your voice is going to come across bad because you can't add emotion to, oh, that's bad, or have
exactly,
fun.
Exactly.
Right? They're not really long sentences to add anything to.
Like at the start of the game, when you first hear Ada on your earpiece, you tell her, I'm here, I'm on the Helios because of a letter you sent. And then Ada said, I didn't send you a letter.
That's right, yeah.
What would your first reaction be? What do you mean? Of course you sent me a letter. I've got it here in my hand. Stop, you sent me a letter. But no, Rose says, wait, what?
Yeah, you would stop and just, agreed. The writing in this isn't phenomenal.
And that keeps happening. And,
it does.
It's not the voice actor's fault, but it's bad writing and it smells like zero direction.
Yeah, agreed. It smells like one of those ones where I'm sure it happens. They send you lines and you do it from home and then you send it back and then they say perfect. You know, but yeah, that's it. That's
good
it.
Job.
That's
great it. Job. Good job. Nice one. And then they check it off the checklist.
Yeah, exactly. It's on the checklist. It's done. Yeah, I get what you mean.
But yeah, you're professional. You're a professional. You were in the Ferrero Rocher advert. Yeah,
exactly.
Ago.
And he was the bad guy.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Majors. there was one nice thing that unfortunately you mustn't have come across because it was in the theater. And I thought you would just put your background, you'd have liked
it. What was
this.
It?
As you walk up to the theater, because you've got to go on stage.
Yeah.
There's a, I don't know, what they call the little pit area where an orchestra sits. Is that just like the ball
the pit? The pit, the orchestra the pit.
A pit. And as you walk up there, you actually start hearing when they're tuning their instruments, you know that big noise?
Yes.
When everybody tunes their instrument. There's that noise as you walk up to the stage, which I was like, whoa. That's
they're tuning
cool.
to A major or B flat major?
Right, yeah. It was cool. I was like, whoa. Like, it was ghostly. Weirdly, this game isn't about ghosts, but there was a ghostly aspect of walking up there.
That's excellent, because, yes, that is such a... That is a sound that most people have heard.
Yeah,
and
right?
most people have no idea what the function is.
No, agreed. It's just the orchestra's making a big
such
noise.
It's such an odd, whimsical, mystical sound when a symphonic orchestra tunes.
Yeah, it's a weirdly unique noise, isn't it?
Yes, where all yes, of them it make is.
That noise and then slowly...
Oh, that's such a perfect use for that sound.
Yeah, no, it was a really cool moment. I had to write that one down instantly. And other sound things were fun. There were some balloons that popped out of nowhere to add some tension. There's, you know, there was lots of, like, books falling over. It's kind of cliched, but it added to the atmosphere to some degree.
Yes, I think the atmosphere does manage to get the player tense. Mm. I do think that does happen, right? When you can hear footsteps behind the wall or a couple of rooms over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the ambient noises or someone might be there type sound effects.
Yes, that.
Anything else audio-wise that you adored or disliked?
No, I don't know. None that I can think of right now.
Okay, then let's jump into gameplay.
Yeah, do we have to?
I really don't want to. It's the least notes I've got on this game is gameplay.
It's because there's hardly any. Yeah, listeners, this is a walking simulator.
Hey, that's what I wrote down. It's a walking and running simulator.
That's it, yes.
That's all it does.
Walking and running simulator. That's so true.
And that's why you were shocked. When I told Nick I completed the game, he was shocked because it's a scary
game. I could not believe... Out of the two of us, Dave's the one that finished the horror game.
Right? And it's single-handedly because I knew this game was just a walking and running simulator.
Ah.
There was nothing that was going to scare me because every moment that was tense, it was just one of those left,
it's
right,
it's left, it's artificial.
Right. Yeah.
It's artificial. It's not... you're in game, you're not really, air quotes, in danger.
Exactly. You could almost not go wrong.
That's right. I've got this down. Way.
Yeah, right?
I made this exact note. There's this weird meta aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Where, to games like these, where you know that because you're not given any weapons or methods to defend yourself, there won't be any direct danger.
No, exactly. That's very true. There's no, like you said in the other games, right? Insanity meter or tension or heart rate monitor. So after an hour of finding bad guys and doing your first runaway simulator, you now know you're perpetually safe. Nothing changes in the game to make you feel vulnerable. So you're kind of like on God mode.
Exactly. This is essentially just a roller coaster.
Yes. Yeah,
or maybe just like a very slow...
Oh, slow. Slow's the key word. I wrote slow here a few times.
So slow.
Even the ladder, climbing up the ladder sequences are so slow. I get the realism.
Yes.
And like, okay, this is, you know, one leg there, one there, and then slowly getting and then pulling yourself up. But after like the 10th time, and you're just like, Rose, just... be faster.
Come on, Rose.
In my mind, I'm picturing her in like a full gown, though. Like the old, like, corset.
True.
So I'm thinking, okay, I'm being mean. That would be hard to climb a ladder in. I don't know why I pictured
not
that.
Not really. At the start,
at
the start, they actually show you what you're wearing. You're wearing a worker's attire with leather gloves and a corset, and you're wearing pants.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That would make sense with her being a reporter.
But why is she so slow? She's got pants!
Yes, I know. Everything about this is slow. Even just climbing over things. There are parts where you have to climb over, I don't know, a desk to get to the other side. And it's the slowest, like, little put your butt on the table and swing your legs across and then climb. I'm like, are you scared? Are you trying to find your sister? Or are you just literally going through the ship?
I don't mind a slow burn. And I know, Dave, you savor them even more than I do.
Yeah, true.
Slow burns are great. They're good. But this, it is a slow burn, but it's slow burns over time get red hot.
Yes, very true.
That's the appeal of a slow burn. Mm. This one is a slow burn, but it doesn't ever...
No, it doesn't.
Go very bright, even.
Even right at the end, they chuck a new game mechanic for you. But it's a cliched one. It's a game mechanic. You know, I can't think of another game that does it off the top of my head. You know where you've got this big thing and it's coming out in waves, and so you've got to wait for the time. So you've got to go down and hide behind something, then you wait for the wave to come out, and then you go to another something.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, they did this in Plague Tale Requiem.
Yeah, and it kind of weirdly reminds me of the Scarecrow scene in Batman. You know where you're...
Oh, yes! You're in the dream sequence. When Scarecrow spotlight eyes are trying to find you. Yes, got it.
It was just one of those scenes. But again, as you know that your time is never ending and you can't particularly die, it's not stressful. It's more just like, wait, go.
It's just patience and timing.
Yeah, it's a weird thing they added to try and add tension. And it just doesn't work.
Incredible sequence in Limbo. Not Limbo. Inside, where there's this deafening sound machine.
Oh, yeah, the big sound.
Sound thing. That's right, you know what I'm talking about? It's like that, right?
Yeah. But not as scary or as tense or as well written.
Again, inside just does it better.
Yeah, no doubt. Literally, this is the gameplay. There isn't any... Okay, there are a few puzzles. The puzzles are very simple, though.
Super. Like, I've got it down here as well. The puzzles are never really much trouble.
No, they really aren't. There's one puzzle in there which you don't have to do, which is probably the hardest one, and it's a deciphering like puzzle thing where you can just decipher a little letter that kind of tells you some of the story.
Are you talking about the sheep herder?
Yes, correct, yeah. Did you do that?
That really isn't even that much trouble.
No, it wasn't. It's more just a time... consuming thing, right? Yeah,
you can even just get through it through trial and error.
Yes,
just
true.
Very making
true.
Pairs.
Yeah. But no, the game's so simple that I couldn't believe. Even the bad guys, I guess you'd call them time aliens, which weren't particularly explained that well.
I didn't even know there were time aliens in this game.
They were time aliens. for lack of spoilers, they tore a rift in time and space, you know, the cliched. And then there were big blue time aliens who were trying to kill people. For some reason, never really specified.
So, not Ludwig.
No, Ludwig was just your general nutcase.
All I know is
Ludwig. And then, yeah, just time aliens. That's it. Just to have something to be scared of. And then you just run away from because I did die once. They caught me and you don't even get a fun, like, death scene.
I also died once.
You get the and then, like, the fading out screen and that's about... And a bit of, like, gurgling noises from the monster
itself. I could not... So that's how you died?
I died, yeah.
I died, let's see here, near the... When you're still looking for Ada's apartment, there's one apartment complex blocked by electricity.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm with you.
And I thought, if I don't have a health bar in this game, and I step on the electricity, would I just go, ow, 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 and then back off?
I got you, yeah. Was that the case?
No. I stepped. I put my big toe on the electric wire, and I immediately died.
I just love the idea on a ship full of scientists and super intelligence, Ada's sister comes aboard and goes, ooh, electricity. Ah, damn, that does kill me. it's true. I get what you mean, though, because there are games where you just go, ooh, and ow, or your health bar goes down.
Yes, exactly. No, but you don't understand. Have a health bar. There's nothing here.
Yeah, I can understand thinking that. Yeah, I'm with you. But there is, the gameplay is the smallest segment because there's not really much.
Which is so unfortunate because that's the point of games.
Yeah.
These are interactive experiences.
Exactly.
Some are minimal, sure, but this one, this is a first person walking simulator in a ship full of combat.
And sadly,
the combat between other parties. You're just there.
And sadly, as soon as you know that, it just detracts from... Now you know that the narrative is the only...
Yes.
Like, that's what's pulling you through, because you know you're not getting a gun. You're not going to get anything fun or like action sequences.
Which is why you said you were able to complete this game.
Yes, I had to. I had to get through it. I had to know if I was right. And I was, which is a bit sad, because I was wanting a Sixth Sense type twist in it.
A would you kindly moment.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's probably why. I was waiting for a would you kindly moment, and it wasn't there, which was sad.
Because this is so heavily inspired by Bioshock. Mm-hmm. You'd think there would be one.
Yes, especially as it's a narrative adventure with no gameplay really in it. You'd think there would be a big one.
But no.
They do kind of suggest a sequel at the end.
A sequel?
I agree. No, right. Spoilers, you escape and you find Tesla escaped too. And he says something along the lines, let's meet up and I'll tell you more. And that's about it.
See.
There's more to it. There are some little spoilery things, which I won't spoil if anybody wants to play the game. But they're not explained at all. So that's kind of left for if you play Far From the Sun.
Far From the Sun.
Yeah.
Far From the Sun. Close to the Moon.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'd play that. Close to the Moon. Tesla's now on the moon trying to find Ada's sister. Or Rose's sister. Sorry, I'm bad at names. Okay, anything else gameplay-wise?
No, that really... There's not much you can go on about the gameplay, really.
Okay, then performance. What do you think?
This is so unfortunate. I think my rig is getting old.
Ah, yeah.
Because my frames dropped a lot. Sometimes I'd get 60 frames. Hardly a lot. And then... all of a sudden, whoops, 25 frames per second.
Whoa, damn, that jumped down to 25.
I know, but that's what I'm thinking. My rig must be getting old. And then I realized this game came out 5 years ago.
Yeah, very true, very true.
It's not that graphical intensive.
No. It's one of those things, I don't know much about this, but I do know that there's ways that you can actually put graphics in that really, pushes your graphics card to the limit, and then sometimes, which is more efficient, that doesn't. I know that Crysis, remember, Crysis the game, the original
one? Of course.
Was known for melting PCs.
Yes.
And then I remember reading an article about it, and it wasn't necessarily that the graphics were so insane. It was how they put the graphics in the game that your graphics card had to render it at once. Right,
Ark Survival Evolved, I think, does this. Are you just saying that graphical settings, or not settings, but how the devs have managed to build this game is just so extremely unoptimized?
Yes,
that it requires a mountain of power.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a good way of putting it. They especially with indie developers, because a lot of it is still learning and a lot
is
trying. Yeah, they do that. You're right. They don't optimize it fully so that your, have draw distances so that your graphics card can catch up.
I know what you mean. It does seem like this game falls into that boat as well.
But it's still a performance issue. You know, even though you could suggest why it happens that way, as a game, it means it's not polished the way it should be.
That's right. It's not performing as it should. It's unoptimized.
Yeah, and on our PCs, on yours, it should play fine. Like I said, it's 5 years old. Anything released now-ish and doesn't quite catch up, you could kind of understand if you're open world and stuff. But this
if I could play Red Dead Redemption 2 on my computer with no real issues, I should be able to play Close to the Sun.
No, you're right. Like I said, that is performance. I didn't hugely have that problem, but I'll admit I wasn't hugely looking for it. I agree it wasn't running at 60 though. Now if I go back into my head, there was no way that was running at 60 because of everything was so slow.
You
couldn't turn around really quickly, so there wasn't really any I agreed. Anything else performance wise?
No, I didn't get any big bugs or glitches or anything of the sort. There's not much gameplay to mess up.
No, it's true.
But yes, I would like to see more frames for a game not that graphically intensive.
Yeah, maybe the sequel.
Ooh. If we have a big close to the sun, two electric that's boogaloo.
It. That's it. You love electric boogaloo. You say that as a sequel to everything.
So, have you seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, but I do know the series. I know you've watched
yes,
it.
Yes, it's a big joke in that series. Yeah, each sequel is called something to electric boogaloo.
Ah, okay, yes. I think you told me that once before. Okay, I get it now.
It's a big joke.
Value for money, what did you think?
I think as $20, this game is fine. Anything more than that should not be paid.
Well, I thought $20 was steep.
I think as a new released indie title, $20 is fine. But, jeez, after a year, yeah, bring it down to 15 or 10.
I did see on Good Old Games or GOG, I don't know what people
refer
to it. It was on special for $5.
Perfect.
On the day of recording. And I know Steam has sold it for like $6, which that's the price you pay for this game.
Get it. I'd say that given the given the way this game looks, which is my favorite part, way this game looks, the environments, the spectacle of the scale of everything, I'd pay money for that if I had, and my son didn't buy a PS Plus behind my back.
That's right.
I'd say that's more than $5 or $6.
Well, on release time, yes, I'll give
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, that's what I mean.
Like you said, I do like supporting indie games, so yes, I do think that's where your money should go.
Storm in a Storm Cup needs our support.
Oh God, Darren. I'm never going to live that down now. Storm in a Storm Cup. And my other problem, again, this is one of those games, it's a one-play type game for me.
It is.
You're
it
not
really
picking
is.
This up to replay the story or find out more. You're just not. So... You know, for me, in longevity or replayability is just
you're
not
right.
there. So
my argument is usually, if you enjoy the gameplay loop, then you can play this game indefinitely. Yeah. You could just replay new game. This game has no gameplay loop. There's no gameplay loop here.
Yeah, you'd have to be like a super fan of Subway Surfer and then want a version that's really slowed down. And really not hard. That would be gameplay
that's
in this
it.
Game.
It's I guess just... so. Sure, but
no, you're right.
Subway Surfer's got a gameplay loop.
There's
no gameplay loop here. You're right. This is probably the most one-and-done games we've ever played on the show.
Yeah, agreed. It's in theory, I think, as indie game goes, this is probably the worst gameplay side of it. Most indie games we talk about,
gameplay
is super fun and you get to explore dungeons and sell things.
Well, I've got the list here. Let's compare. Amnesia, which is better?
Oh, Amnesia. Ton better.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Tons better.
SteamWorld Heist.
I liked that. No, I thought that was great.
Eagle Island Twist.
Oh, that was the weird owl one, right?
Yes, it was.
The gameplay in that was okay. It was...
It was better than this.
Better than this. I would say better than this.
Okay, there's quite a few. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you're right. It does seem like this one is the most bare bones gameplay
that
we've
really
had so far.
Yeah, it's pretty-ish. It is pretty. And I often wonder how much of it is the nostalgia of Bioshock that we love about this game instead of the game itself.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right? Is it just that we love Bioshock and Infinite and Bioshock 2 and that world, and then we see something that looks like that world, and you're like, ooh, yeah, more.
Yeah, more of that,
one.
please.
So
I guess. This,
biased,
I mean,
if you know.
The game's 16 years old. Would that be considered nostalgic?
I'd say so. You'd only be 14. So
oh, that's right. I do have nostalgic memories
right?
from
yeah,
when I was 14. Okay, no, you're right. You're very right. But besides
that's
all
it.
Of that, I think the value for money is what it should be. 10,
yeah,
15,
yeah,
20 on release. This game's 4 hours long. Five hours.
And it really is. There isn't a part you get lost in or have to redo. It's just...
No.
And
by the end of it, you feel like you've played for 20.
Yes, yeah. And it's like just reading books in a library or picking up that big... The Art of War.
Ugh.
Or The Art of War. What's the other one? War and Peace.
Yes, yes.
And to read from Betterford. No, it's a slog. There's no doubt this is a slog.
This was... I think this game was... I think it's good for what it is or what it's... I don't think it's trying to be anything more than what it genuinely is.
Yes.
It's not giving you a fake weapon or putting you in fake situations.
No.
Okay, it, well, you're sure there are artificial dangers.
Yes, and time aliens.
And time aliens. And Ludwig!
And Ludwig, yeah, just Ludwig, randomly. Unexplained Ludwig, just a scary Ludwig that's on the boat. Yeah. Either way, what do we score this bad guy then? Bad boy.
Our scores are very, very smart scores. In fact, they are scientist scores and got invited to stay on deck with Nikola Tesla on his new helio ship. Oh, but it all went south and everyone started killing each other. And time aliens got there. So when we got our little flower named sister, Lavender, nice. Or Lily, she came aboard and found our letter grade rating bloodied on the floor for C-, which is just an average game.
I look at that thing now and after all we've talked about, thinking that's possibly too high.
Do you think so?
I don't know. The scores are the scores and they're locked in.
Yeah.
But I just look at the other games, like we got Alone in the Dark. Yeah, okay. Rage 2. Yeah,
a couple.
Rage 2, we scored the same. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which is just funny. But no, that game is broken.
Oh, damn. Jedi Knight Jedi Academy was a C-?
Right, yeah.
What were we smoking?
If you play that game, it is a... I still remember playing that game. Love the game. Nostalgia goggles on in that regard.
Oh, yeah, so is that nostalgia goggles? Okay, yeah. Never mind. Okay, never mind.
I think... Okay, it is a C-. If you love that type of game, sure. I kind of want it to be a D now as I look at it, just because.
It probably should be a D. But the scores have spoken. The sun is a C-. Don't listen to the scores, ladies and gents. Please don't. Don't take it seriously. We don't.
All reviews are subjective anyway.
They really are. Yeah, if you like Close to the Sun, yeah. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, go play it. Enjoy it. It's there. It's enjoy whatever you want.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
But if talking about things you enjoy, thank you for enjoying Critical Arcade. Thank you. If you'd be so kind to leave us a review, it'd help us a lot. You could also follow us on our social channels on YouTube or Instagram. Or you could catch me on email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com.
And I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
I like the
I almost said Nick.
The pauses we had.
I almost said Nick. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com. And I was like, no, wait a minute. What's my name?
I'm Nick.
I told you I'm bad with names.
Dave, just where can we follow you?
Well, you will find me out and about, but I did get my hands on one of those little automatic steamboat thingies that you start in this game. But and I will chuck you on one, and you will go to this mega monolith boat, which costs millions upon millions, and you have to host a tea party for Ludwig, the knife-wielding lunatic guy, who's unexplained. He's not, like, a super scientist. I don't understand why Ludwig's there. And you have to host him at a party and somehow find his backstory for me. Not the worst.
I would do this one.
That said, I noticed when playing this game, there is zero food. There is no canteen, no McDonald's,
really?
Nothing on this ship.
No
There's
food.
No food anywhere. So, depending on how long you could last and how much
odd.
Ludwig wants to share...
How am I supposed to host a tea party with
exactly.
no tea?
Exactly. See, there you go. You found the crux of the
damn.
Right?
Oh, you got smarter as well.
I know. I got you. Yeah, I got you.
Don't follow Dave. Don't host a tea party for Ludwig. Rather follow us on Patreon for exclusive content available to you the moment you subscribe, which is very cool. Dave, what have we got lined up for next week?
Next week, I can't believe I'm saying this, to be honest with you. But next week, we're playing the 1991 NES classic, darling, whatever you want to call it, Tiny Toon Adventures.
Yay!
Which is even a push for my nostalgia goggles. I remember the Tiny Toons.
But you
Toons.
Have played
I
this,
do.
Right?
I have. Yes. I remember watching the cartoons as a kid, too. Look forward to it. I'm playing an old NES game. It's been a while. But yeah, let's see how that see if it aged well or not.
Excellent.
In the next episode. Looks like it sounds like a lot of fun.
So good. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah, that's one of your nostalgia goggled games, right?
Yeah, it is. I've got lots of memories with this one. But tune in next week to hear all of those memories and judge our nostalgia goggles. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.